Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
Well, good morning, First Baptist Church. We are so glad to be with you this morning. We're actually going to do something a little different this morning. We're going to start out with prayer before we lead in worship. Would you stand with me as we pray together? Father God. Father God, you are so good to us, Lord. And God, as we have wrapped up our 40 hours of prayer emphasis, God, we declare you, Father, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Father. God, for each one, Father, that came to pray, Father, to bathe certain people that were on their heart in prayer, Lord. God, we thank you. We thank you, God, for being the Savior of the world, for being the one that hears us when we pray, Father. There is power in prayer, Father. And God, sometimes it's a battlefield, and when we fight on our knees, Lord. And God, we are so thankful, God, that the battle belongs to you. In your name we do pray. Amen. Let's continue worshiping together as we sing this song. The battle belongs.
Shadows, you win. welcome. We're so glad you're here for our first worship Sunday of 2025. And so perfect attendance. Good job. We're glad that you are here and so thankful for the entire year that lies ahead, what all the Lord has in store. If you're participating online, welcome. Please follow the prompts on the screen to let us know you're here. If you're in the room and you're a guest, maybe it's your second time, third time, fourth or fifth time, we'd still love to know that you're here by filling out the registration or using the QR code on the back of the seat in front of you. We would appreciate that. Each week we pray for a different church. We've done this now for several years, and hopefully we'll just keep doing this from now on. Our church of the week we're praying for today is Grace Fellowship Church. Their pastor is Jackie Gaston. We're so thankful. Across town, it's a wonderful congregation of people that they do a great job of sharing the gospel and investing in our community. So we want to pray for them. Then our missionary partner of the week is our partner in Egypt. His name is Amir. So we ask you to pray for him specifically, for God to use him and his family to be their provider, to give them opportunities to see many more people come to know Jesus. Let's pray and we'll carry on in worship. Father God, we sang truth to you as we've lifted up the idea and the understanding that the battle belongs to you. Lord, in that song, we called you Almighty Fortress. In that song, we portrayed you as warrior. Father, we see you as the one who is worthy of all praise. And so may we come to understand today that you are our mighty fortress. You are our protector. You are our provider. Lord, that you are the great battle warrior, and that to know that you go before us and that you allow us to be a part of your plan, we thank you for that. Father, we pray for Grace Fellowship, that you'd move in power among them today, bring revival to their faith family. Father, we pray for Amir and his family, that 2025 would be the greatest year of ministry for his two churches there in Egypt. We pray that many more people would come to know you, that you would be their provider in all things. God, I take a moment to pray for every person in this room. I pray that every last one of us, as we've started our year in worship corporately, I pray that can be the theme of consistency throughout this year for us, that we could gather together with one heart and one mind, that we could gather together understanding that we're going to grow in you and then be sent out to live as you've called us to live among our community. And Lord, now as we carry on in worship, may we give you the praise and glory and honor that you are due. You are worthy of it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing, "Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." You know this song. Let this be your prayer.
Tis so sweet. Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know the saved the Lord.
Oh, how sweet.
Just to trust his cleansing.
continue worshiping, we focus on the mercy of Jesus. Sing this chorus with us this morning. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. His mercy is more.
Remain standing. I love that line in the song that says, "He welcomes the weakest, the vilest, and the poor." And the reason I think that's my favorite line in the song is because it's me. And the reality is, it's you. If everyone seated around you could somehow get into your brain, into your mind, to your thoughts, your memories, your past, we would all be terrified for people to know what others might not know. But the reality is God welcomes the weakest, the vilest, the poor. Our sins were many, but his mercy is more. It's new. It's what he's done for you and for me. So we celebrate that. We spent the last 40 hours since Friday at 4 p.m. There have been either one family or two families or up to three at a time in here praying in this on this campus, in this room and right outside the room for 40 hours straight. And you've been prayed for. You've been prayed for by name. You've been prayed for multiple times over. But we did a lot of Thanksgiving opportunities in the middle of the prayer time as well. And so I want to give you an opportunity right now to stop as we think back over 2024 and all the ways that God has provided. Now, you may have had some dark moments, some grieving moments, some hard moments. But I want you to think about God being the sustainer, God being the redeemer. And we don't have time for long sentences, but we've sung about God's mercy and grace, and now we're about to sing about his goodness. So let's take a second. Would you just, with the short phrase, just what are you thankful for from this past year? What God has done? What are you thankful for from 2024? What are you thankful for? Let's hear it with a loud voice. Provider. He's your provider.
Our healer.
Our healer. He's faithful. What else?
Merciful.
He's
my strength.
Your strength. Answer prayers.
Provider.
Somebody else.
He's my everything.
Amen. Somebody else.
Protector.
Comforter. Amen. What else? Amen.
He never leaves.
Never leaves. He has mended some broken families this past year. He's brought comfort where it was needed. He has saved people. He's done all these things. And so we have so much to be thankful for. This song we're about to sing, every time we have sung it the past few years, it does something for me. I don't know, maybe you're different than me, but when I sing, I'm a visual person. In my mind, I see what I'm singing. And I've never sung this song in this room with you where it's not been some highlight reel of my life, taking me back to childhood, to God's provision, to my home church. I think about Sunday school leaders. I think about my mom, who's now in heaven. I think about the blessing my father's been in my life and discipling me. On and on I could go. This song is just a reminder of God's goodness. So I hope the same will happen for you as we sing it right now, that your mind will be flooded with all the ways God has been good to you this past year. Let's sing this together. That all my life you have been faithful. Let it be your prayer to him. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. Father God, you've been so faithful to us. You've been so good to us. And we thank you for that. Lord, I pray now that you'll speak to us, that you'll convict us where needed, that you'll challenge us where needed, that you'll encourage us and empower us where needed. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated, friends. If you have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4, we see a passage that is well known if you have read much of the Bible at all. It's a passage where Jesus has started his earthly ministry, and now he is gathering his apostles, his disciples. And one particular passage with two very well-known disciples, you'll know the story. Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 18, it says, "While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he, Jesus, saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' Immediately, they left their nets and followed him." A couple of things about this. First of all, it amazes me that it says they immediately left their nets and followed him. It was radical, instant obedience. But also, it's a reminder and it's a phrase that I hope will make sense to those of us in this room. It is somewhat Christian insider language. So if you're new to church, if you're checking things out for the first time, if you're participating online or listening on the radio, there's nothing offensive meant by the term to be fishers of men. It's not the idea that we're trying to catch someone that doesn't want to be caught. It's the idea that we want to invest our lives in such a way that people will be drawn to the Lord. But every disciple, everyone who knows Jesus is called to be a fisher of men. And I've used this quote multiple times over the years. I've quoted it twice on the first Sunday of the year back over the last 14 years. And I want to quote it again today. The late, great Paul Harvey said this about the modern day Church of America. He says, "We have gone from being fishers of men to being keepers of the aquarium." Now, someone have to say amen or oh my on that one, because that's tough. We've gone from being fishers of men to keepers of the aquarium. The large majority of Christian churches in the United States that see any type of growth in the year, almost all of that growth comes when someone leaves one church and moves to another. Now, let me stop by saying this. We have many people in this room who God has led to come and be a part of this faith family from another place, and they are called to serve and to work, and you always need to do what God tells you to do. In fact, if you are here for a number of years and God leads you to go serve and be involved somewhere else, the last thing that I would want to do is encourage you not to do that. I want you to do what God is telling you to do. However, there's a problem. And the problem is this: apart from us doing what God tells us to do in that regard, we are not seeing people come to Christ. We're not seeing people that we call lost, people that we call pre-believers, those that do not yet know Jesus. We're not seeing many of them come to Christ. In fact, it's startling when you stop and think about our denomination. We are Southern Baptists, and what that means is we are an independent church. We're not told what to do in any certain way, shape, form, or fashion. We are an independent church that cooperates together with 40,000 other Southern Baptist churches across the nation in North America, and all of our churches, we pool some resources for missions and ministry and education and things like that. But we as a denomination have been the largest evangelical denomination for decades. We as a denomination have led the way in the United States for seeing people being led to Christ, for seeing people come to know Christ and be baptized. But friends, I got to share something with you. We don't have 2024 numbers yet. It's too soon. But 2023 numbers are in. And among the 40,000 Southern Baptist churches, this is horrifying. 43% of those 40,000 churches baptized zero people in 2023. You say, well, what's the big deal about baptism? It's even in our name. It's the idea that we baptize. It's when someone gives their life to Jesus and becomes a follower of Jesus. Baptism is a public profession of that. So baptism shows who's getting saved. Baptism shows who's giving their life to Jesus. And 43% of the most evangelical, gospel-focused denomination in the nation had zero baptisms in 2023. And if that's not enough, 34% of Southern Baptist churches saw between 1 and 5 people come to know Jesus and be baptized in 2023. So if you do the math, 77% of our 40,000 churches had 5 or less people come to know Jesus. Listen, something's wrong. We have gone from being fishers of men to being keepers of the aquarium. You say, well, but Chris, that's not our church. We baptized 18 people last year. Yes, that was wonderful and great. But friends, if I would confess to you for just a moment, the reality is we still see the large majority of our growth of people who feel led to come here from another church. We're thankful to have them. We know that they will serve and be involved. But I can't help but believe that's not what Jesus meant when he said, go make disciples. Do you believe for a moment that Jesus meant when we say go make disciples in the Bible, when he tells us to go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I've commanded you, and lo, I'll be with you always to the end of the age? Do we for a moment think that when Jesus said go make disciples, he meant gather together on Sunday morning, sing some songs, keep the aquarium nice and clean, keep the glass looking good, and that's what he meant? That's not it. Friends, when he said, go make disciples, he was calling me and he was calling you to go and be fishers of men. He was calling us to be in relationship with people who do not know Jesus, to help them come to know Jesus. I don't know about you, but the large majority of my friends are already Christian. The large majority of the people I know already know Jesus. It's just the truth of the matter. As a pastor, a whole lot of my time is spent with people who already know Jesus. But that's not an excuse. I can't tell you, well, I'm excused because I have to be around believers. I'm trying to lead people. No, God's called me to be a fisher of men the same as you. And so let me ask you, when was the last time you verbally shared the gospel with someone you were in relationship with? Or is it possibly true for you and for me, it's a little heavy today, sorry, that we've gone from being fishers of men to keepers of the aquarium? I grew up in a home that loved aquariums for a season, my father traded hobbies pretty quickly, and we had about a 3-year stint where aquariums were our hobby, and we loved it, and I love aquariums. We hope to put one in the kids' ministry. I love aquariums, but we had 7 in our home at one time. It was a lot of work, and one of them was well over 100 gallons. That 100-gallon aquarium only had 5 fish in it. They were all red Oscars, and they were very large fish. One of them weighed 2 pounds in our aquarium in our house, and so I'll never forget one night being asleep in the house, and we heard a loud crash, and we really thought someone was trying to break in. We had kind of a glass back set of doors, and it sounded like someone has broken into the house. And so as I'm getting up as a young teenager, my dad's getting up, one of my brothers got up, the other slept. But as we got up and walk out, there's no glass broken there. We look around, we go into the living room, and there is a wet pile of carpet and that 1 2-pound red Oscar laying in the floor. He decided he was done with the prison life. He decided he was busting out. And so he bust through the top of the aquarium. He weighed that much and had that much strength. He bust through, ends up on the ground. He's sitting there. There's water everywhere. And he realized something. And by the way, I think aquariums are great. But he realized he wanted to be in the lake. He didn't want to be there. Some of you are saying, Chris, are you one of those animal, fish-loving kind of people? Yes, I love them. Fried, grilled, I like them baked, I like them all. Yes, it's all good. I'm all for aquariums, okay? But this one wanted out. He did not want in. But I have to tell you, that whole little illustration, as strange as it was, is a perfect example of the modern-day church. Because if we're not careful, we can become satisfied as a group with being in the aquarium. Comfortable seats, the glass is clean, everything's good and going well, when the reality is all along God's call to make disciples has been about getting out into the world where they are. And so I'm confessing to you that for me, that can be difficult to do. And I want to start with me in 2025. My desire in 2025 is I want to follow the example of Jesus. What example did Jesus give? Let me show you. If you'll take your Bible really quickly and turn to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, I want to show you what it means to be a friend of sinners. Jesus was given that title two different times in the scripture, and it was disparaging both times. Both times he was called a friend of sinners, they meant it to be an insult. But to the Lord, it was not. And to me, I think, what a privilege if someone could call us friend of sinners. Look at Luke chapter 19, beginning in verse 1. Again, if you know many Bible stories, this is probably one you've heard before. It says, he entered Jericho, Jesus, and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. Let me stop right there for a second. Zacchaeus had a problem. Zacchaeus was small, so he couldn't see Jesus. And Zacchaeus was a tax collector, which meant everyone in that crowd thought he was a thief and a horrible person. And so he didn't have relationship to be able to move to the front. He didn't have status to be able to move to the front. He didn't have stature to be able to move to the front. Zacchaeus is like every person you know who doesn't know Jesus. There is something that's keeping them from the hope of Jesus. And our goal is to help them find the hope of Jesus. Look what happens next, verse 4. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they, who's they, the religious leaders, when they saw it, they all grumbled. They said, he has gone to be a guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've defrauded anyone of anything, and he knew he had, if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I will restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house, since he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Now, let me explain to you what Jesus just did that you and I can do. Jesus did not have a transaction with Zacchaeus. Jesus had a relationship with him. If we were going to share the gospel with someone, what would we do? We would sit them down and say, let me quote to you Romans 3:23, Romans 5:23, Romans 6:23, Romans 5:8, 1 John 1:9, John 3:16. We'd share the gospel, repeat after me, there you go. That's awful transactional, because it just seems like all you have to do is repeat my words and we're good. When the reality, when Jesus showed us what it means to be a disciple, he started with a relationship. He didn't quote those verses that hadn't been written yet. He didn't quote what he knew was coming someday. Instead, he says, Zacchaeus, come on down. I'm going to your house. He was going to build relationship with him. Can I let you peer into a pastor's life for just a quick second? Can I tell you, if you were to go to any pastor you know and ask them, what's some of the saddest moments of their year? Most of them, and I have many friends who are pastors, myself included, I'm gonna put myself right here at the top of this list. One of the saddest things that happens is this: when you have been walking in relationship with someone and you're getting to know them, you're praying for them, you're serving together. If they feel led by God to leave and go somewhere else, that's perfectly fine. I have never once wanted to stop someone from doing that. In fact, if you feel God's leading you somewhere, I'll be the first to say, you have to go do what he says to do. You've got to go. Here's the truth, friends. I've been the pastor here for 14 years this coming April the 1st. My hope is that I can be the pastor 14 more years here. But I will tell you this, if God says leave in May, I'm leaving in May. Why? Because I've learned you have to do what the Lord says to do. So when God calls you to go somewhere to serve, I hope you'll go. But the saddest thing for a pastor is when someone leaves but doesn't tell you. I'm just being honest for a moment. Why? Because you think I've invested a lot of time and love and care and we're friends and it seems very relational, but then when you leave and don't say anything, it feels transactional. And I gotta tell you, if we're not careful, we can make our church life transactional. I show up, someone greets me, I hear a message, I give an offering, I leave. That's not what this world is about. We've been called to live in relationship with one another. We've been called to walk together, to live together. But that's not just for us. That calling is for those who have yet to come to know the Lord as well. When we are called to be fishers of men, our calling is to go be relational. Our calling is not just a transaction. Hey, do you want to not go to hell and go to heaven? Repeat after me. Our calling is to show people the love of Jesus, to live the love of Jesus, to verbally speak the love of Jesus to them. That's our calling. And I got to be honest, as your pastor, I spend a whole lot of my 2024 loving and serving and leading people that have already been found and not loving and serving and looking for ways to have relationship with unchurched, lost people. Now, surely, I'm not the only one in the room. If you were to throw a party this week, now I'm not talking about New Year's or Christmas because you had to be with your family, like it or not, that's what you had to do, okay? So I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about if you were to throw a party this week just for friends, chances are at your party will be people who voted the same way you voted. It will be people whose character is pretty much the same as your character. It will be people who share some of the same interests and likes, same status in a lot of different ways. That's normal. It makes sense. But what God is showing us about relationships is that we're called to be outside of those just like us. If we're not careful, our discipleship will be boiled down to hanging out with other people like us and hoping we can all grow some together. When God says, be a fisher of men, wade out into the water, build relationship with those who don't know me. He took Zacchaeus. He went to Zacchaeus' house. That's relational. That's not transactional. That's relational. What other stories do we see in the scripture? How about Matthew? When Matthew, one of the greatest disciples, I love Matthew. I love his writing. I love so much about him. But when Matthew, when Jesus first called him, what immediately happened with Matthew? He threw a party. Where? At Matthew's house. Who was there? All the disciples. And all of Matthew's tax collector friends, all of Matthew's sinner friends, all the ones who were not knowing the Lord or walking anything like him, and all those people were together in that party. Listen, that's the beginning of relationship. That's what God's called us to do. And I want to encourage you, and I want to make a renewed commitment myself that I want to walk in relationship with people that don't know Jesus. I'm going to have to be purposeful to do that. But that's what I want to do. Now, I know people who don't know the Lord. My favorite waiters and waitresses at restaurants, owners of restaurants, people that work, it's a lot of restaurants involved, but the people that do that, other things as well. I can name a bunch of places where that's the case, but it's different. It's not just a transaction. Hey, you're my friend while you're fixing me my food. It's how do I move to relationship with them? So that's I'm just telling you straight up here, first Sunday of 2025, that's my desire. That's my goal. The truth is, if I'm going to lead this congregation, leaders go first. And if I'm not going to lead by being a person who builds relationship with pre-believers, people that don't know Jesus yet, I can't expect you to either. But friends, God expects us both to. So will you be a friend of sinners? Will you be one who reaches out? There's a phrase that we used back in 2021, I think, for a little reminder phrase for a couple of months. And it's a question that we're going to use the month of January. And each month for this entire year will be a different question to spawn us and to get us thinking, to spur us on to thinking about how we're to live for the Lord. So the question you will have heard before if you've been around a few years, but here's the question. What does love require of me? It's a simple question, but this question is based off a lot of scripture. What does love for God require of me? What does love of God in me require of me? What does God's love for the world require of me? What does God's love for my neighbors require of me? And if you can stop and ask that question every day for the month of January and say, God, today, what does your love require of me? I promise you this, it's going to always involve relationship or working to make one or working to mend one or working to keep one. And let's make a purposeful commitment to do that. When we were living in Maine, and we've been here 14 years, and this was probably, it's probably 18 years ago, we had a friend that had come to know Jesus, and he and I were polar opposites. Our lives could not be more different. He had been in more bar fights than I had probably baptized people. He had lived a life where he did all kinds of drugs over the course of his life at different times, and I have never even tasted a drop of alcohol. Most of it ever has a little formula 44D when I had a bad cold at night, I'm telling you. So we were polar opposites. He was rough with his language. I was not. He was, you think opposites, it's me and him. But I loved him, and he loved me. There were people that, you know, if he was doing something wrong and someone had to speak to him about it, most folks would be afraid to do so. He was a big, burly, angry kind of guy who was trying to get to know God better. But I could do it. Why? Little old me, it didn't matter because we were friends. We loved each other. He would take that from me. And we just had a relationship together that was only built on the love of Jesus, because there's nothing else that would have put him and me in a room together ever except for Jesus. And so he and I were having a relationship. Several people did. We were all friends. And it came time for him to get married. And God was doing a work. And things were happening in his life. But in his own probably fear and anxiety about marriage, and just his coping skills were not good in life in general, a couple of days before he's married, before his wedding, I find myself and another gentleman driving around a car in Augusta, Maine, late one night, 2 days before he's supposed to get married. We're looking for him. We're looking for the crack house he might be at, because his life took a horrible turn a couple of days before in his anxiety and his fear and what was going on. And me and this friend pulled up to one house, and the thought was, are we really going to get out and go up to this door? What's going to happen here in this moment? Is this safe? Is this what we're supposed to do? And long before I'd ever heard this question, it was a reminder to me of this. What love wanted me to do was to get out and go to the door. What love for my friend wanted me to do was to find him. What love for God wanted me to do was to find him. What love of God in me and in him wanted us to do was to find him. And we did. And he got married 2 days later. And long story short, the rest of his story is not what this is about. But I simply tell you that story to say this. I'm not saying that if you'll make the same commitment I do, that you'll be a friend of sinners, that God's going to put you in an Albertville crack house in 2 days. That's not what I'm saying at all. It's highly unlikely, highly unlikely. Will you ever have to go to a place like that? Maybe, but that's a whole other story. But the truth is, it's highly unlikely. What I'm saying to you is this, is that God will give opportunity for you to love others not like you, to be in relationship with others like you, so that you can find that common bond. Because me and that man, who is now in heaven, by the way, he's there. He knew the Lord, had a rough life, but he knew the Lord. So he's in heaven. So our bond is still the same. It's still Jesus. I can't wait to get to heaven and see him. Can't wait till that moment and that day comes. But my prayer for you is this. I feel like I got it right 18 years ago. But friends, 18 years ago is not 2024. And I'm not so sure I got it right all the time in 2024. I didn't invest in people who don't know Jesus and need to know him as much as I should have. And so today's as much a confession as it is a commitment and a renewal and a calling. But it's not because I'm the pastor. It's for all of us. We have all called to be fishers of men. We've all been called to walk in relationship. We've all been called to help the Zacchaeus of the world see the hope of Jesus. We've all been called to be Matthews of the world and throw parties for our friends where we can connect those that know Jesus and those that don't. So what will you do with 2025? The truth is, we could become one of those statistics of the Southern Baptists. I'm not proud of those at all. It's shameful. We've totally missed what it means to be Great Commission churches. And friends, my prayer is that Albertville First Baptist Church will have a renewed commitment that we won't settle for 18 new believers in 2025 like 2024, that we want to see 100 people come to know Jesus. We want to see many people give their life to Him. But it's not going to happen because you answered the call for discipleship by inviting them to church. It's going to happen because you answered the call for discipleship by going and living in relationship with them. Same for me. Keep inviting, but let's go live it. Let's go be who Jesus has called us to be. So, as we come to the invitation time, my prayer is that you and I would commit to be like Jesus for Zacchaeus. We would commit to be like Matthew for his friends. We would commit to live out that message and not just be satisfied with the beautiful growing aquarium here, but that we will be the ones who will live out where God has called us to be. Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? With your heads bowed, I want to ask that question, and then you examine your own heart. What does love require of you? What does the love of God in you require of you? What does the love for God in you require of you? What does the love of God for others around us require of me? Father, my prayer is that every person in this room would take seriously the call that you've blessed us so. But the longer we know Jesus, the easier it is to not know people who don't know Jesus. So God, my prayer is that we'd make a purposeful decision to wade out into relationship. Lord, that we will take what has been some transactions in our life with people who don't know Jesus, and we'll make a purposeful decision that says, I'm changing this transaction to something relational. I want to get to know them. I want to grow in them. I want to see them come to know the Lord. God, thank you for the words in Luke about Zacchaeus. Thank you for the words in Matthew about Matthew. Thank you for the calling you've given us. May we be friends of sinners the same as you. God, use us, please, in 2025. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.